Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your food plots are just as important right now as ever. We usually think about them only being important during the season. But right now, the deer need them more than they ever do, especially like right now we have 6 to 8 inches of snow on the ground, and some places have more than that. So that's what we're going to talk about this week, why they are so important to having a healthy herd. But before that, Austin, you've been working on a couple projects. I know you've been busy the last couple days with them, kind of similar to what we're going to talk about today. But what do you got going on over there on that client property?
Yeah, so the north half of this client property, it was pretty underutilized. So we put into place a couple key improvements and projects this year that we wanted to take care of. And the first one was a really big food plot expansion, basically a half acre expansion connecting two much smaller food plots that he already had in place. He's a river bottom property, very high deer density. They just hammered those food plots really before they even had a chance to grow even. Mm-hmm. So we expanded that together, makes it a lot better for his hunting potential, but also gives the deer a lot more volume affords that we can plant in there and and really work on getting it to take. And then we're also I did some mulching on some wildlife trails through that brush. Like, it is a textbook river bottom property. It is nothing but, you know, half inch trees all the way up to full, you know, mature walnuts and sycamores, and it's just an absolute mess in there. So the deer use it a lot, but it's very random. So, like, okay, let's mulch some wildlife-specific trails that connect that food plot that we're expanding to your marsh across the road, and then into that primary thicket that will lead from the road, from the marsh, and meets in the middle, and then sends it to the next food plot, which also borders our sanctuary. So it's just kind of a multiple. That's the bigger projects, but, you know, trying to open things up just a little bit for them, make it a little bit easier for travel. The deer are already using it like that. I darn near followed a trail as I was mulching, you know, back in through the brush, basically just followed the trail and just made what they're already doing a little bit better. Yeah. So we're really excited about this food plot, though. It should make for some really good hunting potential.
Yeah.
That he's got already wanting to do, what they're already wanting to do.
Yeah. So. And that leads right into our topic today, because you're making that food plot bigger. Like you said, the deer are eating the stuff down to nothing. So you need more food, because if your food plots are gone by season, number one, then they're doing you no good to hunt over them. If they're gone by January, February, they're not doing the deer any good that survived the season, because there's nothing left for them to eat. They're going to move on and find different food sources on different properties, or they're not going to have the food sources they need. They're going to be less healthy. They're not going to grow as big of antlers. Those aren't going to be as healthy and have as healthy of fawns, right? That's why it's important to have those good food sources and enough food, right? So if you look out right now, wherever you're at, whether you got snow on the ground or not, like, it's pretty sparse, right? Not very many leaves. Not a lot of greenery going on. The deer, even where there's not snow, are just eating on a lot of woody shrubs, right? Any green they can find. If there happen to be acorns somewhere that they can eat, they're going to hit those for sure. But there's just not a lot of good quality forage out there. Winter wheat fields, if there's some of those in your area, right, those get hammered right now, because it's the one green source that's around, unless you have good quality late winter food. And this is something that I talk about with guys. Like, I prefer to have a fall or winter food source, right? Because not only is it good quality attractant for them during the season to hunt over, but it's also really good nutrition. You get a lot of tonnage per acre, and then it lasts into March, April, right? When stuff starts to green up. The problem is that fall planting season for us has been tough, right? So it's been so dry that it's been tough to get those. So we've gone to more clover, but the problem with clover is it goes dormant when it gets really cold. So then the deer don't have that to eat either. Now, in some cases, you get lucky and you get a snowfall on that clover before it gets really hard, or a really hard freeze or something, it gets really cold, then the clover will stay alive enough that the deer will eat it, right? But you can't rely on one thing, I guess is what I'm saying. You can't rely just on clover. You can't rely just on brassicas. And this is a big thing that, especially where we're at in ag country, guys, I've had this conversation. They're like, why would I plant corn and beans? There's hundreds of acres of corn and beans all around me. Yeah, until when? At the latest, like this year was a late year, end of November, early December.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Most years, you're talking that stuff's late. Gone by November, right? So now what do your deer have? And we were just talking before we got on here, where we're at right now with the snow, if you've got standing beans, number one, your deer have a good quality protein food source. If you've got corn, they're hammering it when it's really cold, right? And that's giving them carbs to stay warm and stay alive. Not only do your deer have those two things, but you have the deer because there's very limited food sources right now. So if you got something that's standing up over the snow, the deer are there on your property eating, and they do remember that. Right? So now next year, when it gets colder, when it gets snow, they're like, hey, there was food over there. However their thought process works, right? They know it's just like a buck knowing that this family of does lives over here, so he's going to go check that out during the rut like we see them do year after year, right? They, somewhere in their memory bank, that food gets put, and they're like, whether they stay there or not, and some does will stay, right? It's just going to happen. But those bucks will also remember that there was good quality food here. So you have a healthier herd because of it, and you have a better chance of actually harvesting those deer because you're going to have more chance of them being on your property.
Yeah, and that's the primary thing I like to talk to my clients about when we talk about putting in grains is we're not harvesting our grains. And better yet, we're not tilling them under before winter even gets here.
Right.
How many ag fields do you drive by that not only are completely harvested, but they've also gone through and completely tilled it under.
Yeah, there's so nothing there's not left even, at all.
There's nothing. All of that silage is, which A, is great for the soil. Mm-hmm. I get it, right? But it leaves nothing for the deer to eat on throughout the winter. You know, there's none of that silage available for them to eat or leftovers, whatever. The harvesters are very efficient, but, you know, whatever they do spill or leave, you know, they're not getting it because you came back through and you tilled it all under. Where our property is going to be the only property still standing. Not only will it have good bedding cover, you know, those deer are going to be out in it actually bedding, but they're going to be eating on it all year, you know, whether it be beans, corn, or Milo. I love using Milo because it's a diverse choice, you know, compared to everything else that you see in your surrounding area. So I'm all about, you know, finding something different and finding a diverse choice, as well as not tilling it under.
Yeah,
you know,
it's going to be there.
It's going to be there for the winter.
Yep.
So when the time really matters.
And that's, you know, I always try to focus on greens because it is like preferred throughout the hunting season for sure. And that's what we're doing. We're out there to hunt, right? But you can also be a deer manager while you're just trying to be a deer hunter, right? And that's what I think as landowners, which is who we're talking to right here for the most part, or guys with leases or permission where they can put in food, right? These guys are, for the most part, wanting to grow the biggest deer they can, which I think is great because that means the herd is healthier overall. Usually guys that are trophy hunting that own property or have leases, obviously it's not everybody, but most of them are doing things. Yes, because their end goal is to shoot as big a buck as possible, but in turn, those things will make the whole herd healthier, right? So greens are great, and we try to do those first. But if you can get a good amount of those established, because again, turnips and radishes, those roots will be good for them in the wintertime. But if you have any space to expand into a grain, just even if you're not going to hunt it, right? Just specifically for those deer to have some nutrition, then you can do that, and it's going to be there for them this time of year. You're going to have healthier deer, and the healthier deer lead to bigger antlers overall. They've done tons of studies on that, right? But you bring up Milo. That's a great point because a lot of guys think, well, I don't really have room for that. I've got room to do greens, and then whatever I have left, maybe I've got an acre, maybe I've got half an acre, or just 2 acres, and that's not enough to grow corner beans because my deer density is too high. That, to me, is where Milo really shines, because they won't eat it while it's growing. They will only eat it once it heads out and gets doughy, and then they can come in and eat the heads off of it, the seeds. They won't eat the plant. They won't eat the spiral out of it like they will corn, right? If you try to plant an acre of corn in an area with a high deer density, forget about it. It's gone before it ever has a chance, right?
Seen it happen.
Same way with soybeans, right? That's why soybeans are in some fall mixes, because they're so palatable early on that the deer in a small enough acreage or high enough deer density or some combination, they will just eat them to nothing. So Milo comes in huge right there, because it gives you a grain option that will be above snow when the snow comes, that you can actually grow in smaller places and give those deer something to eat that they're going to let grow until it can actually be really beneficial to them.
And that's where you also have to be very careful about micro plots.
Mm-hmm.
Very few micro plots I see are a success, mm-hmm. unless you like fence them off. You know what I mean? Or you're just okay with planting 4 or 5 times.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So you're just reseeding.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are running micro plots, you need a high diversity. Don't choose one plant.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Because most of the time where you're putting micro plots are in high deer movement areas, because mm-hmm. you want to hunt them there and
exactly.
kill them there. But man, if they're eating that plot before it even has a chance to grow, I guess, yeah, that's a success, right? Because you put it in a place where the deer came to it. But at the same time, they're eating it before it even has a chance to grow.
Exactly.
So if you're into where this project is, where I'm at right now, the project I was just talking about, where if the first time he went in there to clear, instead of making 2 tiny plots, if he went ahead and just finished it off mm-hmm. and made 1 bigger plot, he would have ended up seeing more success sooner.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun to see how all this takes yep. this year.
And there's a good distinction there, too, between what we call a kill plot, right, which some people don't like, but it is what it is. I like to call it that, because that's what you're setting it up for. Yeah. You're setting that plot up to kill deer. There's a difference between that and like a food plot in a destination feed source too, right? So if you have room to make that big destination field, then awesome. You can really keep these things healthy and really give them some options. But when you're talking about those kill plots, like you said, usually you're setting them up in high traffic areas, so the deer density is going to be high, at least in that area, because you're trying to give them a reason. It's not about their nutrition at that point. Those little micro plots, kill plots, are about killing that buck. So you're planting that probably knowing that it's not going to be there in January, February, right? So you have to at least try to plant something that, like a small clover plot on a logging trail or something, right? That's going to have some regeneration. So when they eat it, at least hopefully they don't eat it down to dirt and you can have something. But also, maybe that's where you go and you plant your fall blend closer to season. So at least they're eating that young plant while you can hunt it, right? And maybe they're eating it down to nothing, but you kill your buck before they do. Right. So it's okay to have those, but you got to understand what they're for. Right. Those little micro plots like you're talking about are going to be unsuccessful if you're looking at it from a nutrition standpoint.
Oh, completely. And, you know, if you've got the acres to run nutrition plots and kill plots, that's ideal.
Yeah.
I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and where this guy's property, his property is the cover, where he's surrounded by ag, right? Mm-hmm. And public. So his property is ideal cover.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to require a ton more budget.
Yes.
One, if we want to actually create nutrition
yep.
plots, right? Outside of just encouraging his STEMI growth, which that's a
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
strength of this property is his stemmy brows. Mm-hmm. So how can we complement his stemmy brows, which is creating a random movement, mm-hmm. complement that with some key located plots, but knowing that those plots more likely are going to get hit pretty hard, we're just going to have to know that our timing of planting is going to be very important and not plant it too early per se, but right. But plant it just late enough to where we've got plenty of time to catch a rain, you know, yeah. obviously plant it right before rain, but catch the rain and then long enough before the freeze hits to yeah. where it messes up your plots. Just, right. just know the strength and weakness of that specific food plot. Mm-hmm. It can't do everything mm-hmm. and plant it accordingly.
Yeah. And you know, it's not that you can't hunt these bigger plots either. Cause like you're saying, if you make mm-hmm. a great big plot, okay, maybe you had a half acre and you want to expand it to an acre, right? A half acre is easier to hunt than a whole acre plot. I mean, it's twice as big. You cover twice as much ground. Deer can get in and out of an acre without you ever having a shot with, especially archery equipment, right? You're going to be able to cover it with a gun. But if you're bow hunting, an acre can be hard to cover. Mm-hmm. But all it takes is planting some kind of screen through the middle of that thing. And now you still have the same amount of food that you had with that 1 acre plot, and you still have the huntability of your half acre plot, right? So you can kind of do both at once, even if that's the room that you have. And one thing you mentioned there too, location is really key on these plots when you're talking about late winter supplemental feeding, you know, nutrition as well. If your food is not close to good thermal cover, it's almost equaling itself out, right? Because the deer is only going to travel so far to get to better nutrition. And in my experience, let's say you have this food plot on one hand that is like grade A, the best quality food in the world, but they got to go, I don't know, a half mile, a mile to get to it, right? Because there's no good cover around it. Versus this other food plot in your other hand, that's, let's say it's like a C grade. Like, it's decent food. It's not the best. It's not the most preferred, but it's decent food. But there's thermal cover, like, right there. The C grade plot, they're going to use more often. And they're going to get more benefit out of. Because by the time they travel that mile from their thermal cover and back, they've burnt so much energy that they almost can't eat enough and spend enough time eating in that plot to be efficient, right? And they're all about efficiency, especially this time of year when it's super cold, harsh conditions. They're just trying to stay warm. They're trying to recuperate from the rut. Efficiency is key.
Yeah, and that's a great point that as you bring up. You know, no matter how good of a food plot you have, if the deer don't want to do it and use it, they're not going to.
Right.
You know, I think that's something we lose in with this what white management idea is, thinking that we can create something and force a deer to use it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where that's not what we should be doing. What we should be doing is complementing what they're already doing.
Yeah.
If you complement what they're already doing and enhance what they're already doing and give them more options for along that they're not only with cover, but food, like we're talking about, and just enhance what they've already got, you're going to win, and you're going to win faster. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're going to see the benefits a lot faster. Where
yeah.
if you're creating something brand new, it may take them a couple years, not only one, to get to it and use it on a regular basis, but for the rest of your projects to catch up.
Yeah.
To what you're doing it's you know, and it's the kind of thing where maybe that's a great early season.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're surrounded by great grasses and pretty chill cut cover where they can really get in there and hunt early and stay on it early season, but you don't have the thermal cover late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you just have to really evaluate what your strengths are with that specific location and then enhance it from there.
Yeah. And to your point about doing what the deer kind of want to do, think about like, you got this city, right? And the city needs a park because you're on the city council. You think it needs a park, whatever. The north side of town, really nice part of town, pristine, cleaned up. People, there's a grocery store there. People are comfortable. They go for their walk. They walk their dog in the middle of the night there and feel good about it. The south side of town, though, is just crime riddled, buildings falling down, like fires every other day. It's just a really crappy part of town. If you build the park in the middle of the south side of town where it's really bad, how many people are going to come use that thing? If they do, it's going to be years down the road after you're hoping that this park is kind of like this beacon of light, right? And it slowly creeps out into the darkness. Whereas if you throw that park in the middle of the north side of town that's all cleaned up and pristine and people are already using it, the next day you open that thing, it's going to be full of people. And with the deer and the food, it's no different.
It's a great analogy. Very well put.
I appreciate that. That's a big one, too. Also, the second part of what you're talking about is knowing your property, right? So maybe it is where you think, okay, this is great, guys, but I don't have enough room for these type of food plots. What can I do? Well, just think about what we were just talking about with the thermal cover. Can you improve cover on your property to where you can give them okay food but better thermal cover? Does your neighbor have really good food but there's no cover around and you can be that cover, or vice versa? Does your neighbor have really good cover and you can be the really good food? Take into consideration what your property, your strengths and weaknesses, right? And then make your decision based on that, and don't try to make it something it's not, because not everybody's going to be able to plant the amount of food it takes to really give these deer what they need right now, but you can still do something that's going to benefit them this time of year. And maybe it is that natural regrowth and that young stemmy stuff that they will eat on this time of year, right? Like you're saying on that river farm, like he's got some of that stuff going on. Maybe that's what's out there for him in the wintertime. There's a lot of different things that you can do to try to keep them healthy, which is in turn going to make bigger, healthier deer.
Yeah. And just don't step on your own toes. Also, you know, don't try to work against yourself or against your property. Really evaluate what you've got and go from there. You know, not all properties are going to be perfect early season or late season properties, but they're perfect October, November.
Yeah.
You know, and some properties are perfect September, December, not so great rut movement, you know? So just know what you've got. And instead of trying to step on your own toes and get frustrated and try to make your property something that it's really not, work with it, understand it, work with it, enhance it. And then it if you've got enough land to start working on, you know, some of the weaknesses where you can fix some of the weaknesses, but most of us don't have enough ground to where we can really get into fixing most of the weaknesses. Mm-hmm. We just enhance what our strengths are, and just by doing that, we really make some big improvements.
Yeah, and we all have in our head like the ideal property or our ideal hunt, right? Like maybe you're a guy who really just wants to hunt those first 2 weeks of November where you catch that day, bucks are just running everywhere, grunting, chasing does. And like, that's your ideal dream hunt, and that's what you want. But your property is one of those that's better for September, December, right? What can you do about that? Make it as good as it could possibly be for September and December. Build it up as much as you can. Try to flip it, right? Like, if you own the thing, maybe try to get into something else, right? If you've got 20 acres that's good in September, December, maybe you can turn that into 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 that maybe is not great right now, but has more potential to be good for what you want, right? If it's not something you want, still give it what it needs. Do what you can with it. And hey, if you're smart about it, you probably still can fill some tags on it. It may just not be what you want, but then that's the apple the carrot in front of the horse, right? That's dangling out there. That carrot is, you want that November property. So just keep working to make yours as best you can, because the more big buck history you can build on a property these days, and the more trail camera pictures you can get, the more harvest photos you can get. And if you can show these guys, hey, I've got established food plots and trails and stand locations and everything like that, and I've killed bucks three out of the last four years, or I've got pictures of these giants on here every year, that is it going to just exponentially increase the value of your property. And now, like I said, you can put that thing on the market and you can go get you something that's more like what you want, maybe.
Absolutely. No, that's a great option. And for me personally, I think most of the time you're winning. If you're winning September and December, I think you're winning most of the time, because that's, you won't get as any more predictable movement than that right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I mean, you will not get any more predictable movement. And hey, maybe you've got a 90-acre piece with 40 acres worth of ag. If you've got that, you can get really crazy into native grass, diversify, mm-hmm. you know, clover food plots, grain, and diversify all of that ag instead of making 40 acres of the same that everybody else does. Make it a habitat, make it a diverse habitat, you know, so it's going to take a lot more planting and work per se, but you're also not getting in there with forestry equipment having to clear it first.
Yep.
It's already there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a huge advantage. You know, you look at it, it's mostly open, but it's been planted. Okay, well, let's make it diverse.
Yeah.
Let's make it something that they're just going to stay on for a long time.
Yep. I won't say there's always something you can do, but there is usually something you can do that will benefit your deer herd and make your property better. And if you can do it, just kind of bring this thing home. Give them food, give them quality nutrition that not only lasts till you fill your tags, but also lasts into the late winter, right? I think that's one of the best things you can do to keep a healthy, quality deer herd is give them nutrition when they need it.
Absolutely.
All right, dude. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Speaking of quality nutrition, Rack's Big Game supplements. You guys can go to racksbiggame.com. Honestly, it is another thing that you can do. I tell people all the time, like, supplements, minerals is not magic. You're not going to turn 130-inch deer into 170-inch deer in 1 year. But over time, if you can get them on a program, you can give them a bump in those nutritional values, you know, feed and minerals and protein and stuff like that. Over time, you're going to see the benefit from that, right? As long as you got your system in place. So if you guys want to, go over to Rack's Big Game. Check that out. You can use the code FULLDRAW, and I believe it gets you 10% off over there. And don't forget, you know, we talked about selling properties too, buying and selling. If you're doing that in Illinois, go talk to Rodney Hawkins at Midwest Farm and Land. He's a land specialist with them. He's also got a sporting goods store called RG Outdoors. He's local to us here in Flora, Illinois, so if you're in the area. If you're not, check him out on Facebook, RG Outdoors. I'm sure he'll send you some stuff. He's usually got really good prices on like Tacticam trail cameras. And I know he's got some e-bikes. He's getting some new ones of those in. He's got blinds from Radix. He's got tree stands, all kinds of stuff he's got that I'm sure he would love to hook you up with no matter where you're at. So you can find him on Facebook or any of that stuff. Just give him a call or text 618-925-3153. Don't forget to check out Austin's stuff, Tactical Approach Outdoors. His website is tacticalapproachoutdoors.com, and all his socials are that as well. You can find him on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, and you can keep up with
YouTube.
He's got consulting services. He does management work like we've been talking about. If you guys need help with any of that out in his service area, and you just did a consulting trip in Georgia, right? So, I mean, you're traveling all over for that. If you guys want him to come out and help you with your property, he can help you with that too. So again, make sure you go over to his channel and socials and subscribe, like, comment, all that kind of good stuff. Our website is richhunteroutdoors.com. You can see everything else that we have there. So without further ado, Austin, you got anything left for him?
I don't.
I think we did pretty good on time on this one. I think
we did.
I mean,
I know.
It feels like it was 15 minutes, so that probably means we're around 30.
Actually, that sounds about right. If it feels around 30, we're pushing that 45 yeah, minute to an hour mark.
For sure. All right, guys. Well, we should have an episode out Monday. If we do not, we'll see you whenever we get the next one out. Thanks for listening.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.